हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर शिवसदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 172. Okay, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though you as my devotee are not supposed to do karmas, by my order do karmas to maintain the custom, but be dedicated to me without faith in those karmas. Right? So in other words, your general devotee, as he gives up the karmas, he doesn't need to follow them because he's already absorbed in the Lord. But someone like Prahlad Maharaj, who's prominent, then because especially his group, the demons, they're going to be very interested in the results of karmas, but he's showing how to get these results, but in connection with the Lord. Right? Because that example needs to be set. Because otherwise, many are engaged in the karmas, but the problem is they don't see them in connection with the Lord. So he's showing how they can be connected to the Lord. Right? Let's see. By thinking of me, even if you do not do the karmas, they are performed, so do not worry, right? So if you're absorbed in the Lord, you get the benefit anyway. But if you're doing them and remembering the Lord, then you're also getting the benefit of the Krishna consciousness. Right? So Krishna consciousness already includes the benefits that you get from doing the karmas, right? Because we're talking here, the karmas means that which is duty, that which you're supposed to be doing. Right, so doing those, then in connection with Krishna, then you'll be Krishna conscious. But even if you don't do them, you don't have the need for them anymore. The benefit from doing them is already gained, because otherwise, the idea is that I'm not doing it, therefore am I not doing my duty? Is there something wrong? When actually, no, the duties go on properly. Is that what you're saying? Srila Prabhupada adds. When one becomes a devotee, he no longer has any duty to the Vedic regulative principles. Right? So what we follow is devotional principles. Right? People follow Vedic, they're doing it because it's the Vedic rules that they'll get their benefits, material benefits. Right? Either in the form of karma or jnana. So we only follow those Vedic regulations that are recommended in context of bhakti. Right? So practicing bhakti, then these are the support for it. Those are the ones we follow. So we're following because of bhakti, not because they're Vedic. So there's the idea is that, oh, see, we don't have to follow the Vedic rules. But the rules that Prabhupada gave us, those are bhakti. Right? Not something else. Just because they have a common source, then doesn't mean that there's a problem. Because as we see in Vedanta Sutra, the actual common source is Krishna. Right? That he's the source of everything, so including the scriptures. Right? The scriptures are defining how to attain him. So there's no problem in performing these activities. So when we talk about you don't no longer have to do to the Vedic regulative principles, we mean you're not following the rules and regulations given in the Shastra for the purpose of karma or jnana. We're only following the rules and regulations of the scriptures that are recommended for bhakti. So as a basic day-to-day lifestyle, it's exactly the same. Right? But then beyond that, then there may be things we follow or not follow. Is that? One has many duties to perform, but if one becomes fully devoted to the Lord, he no longer has such obligations. Right, so let's say is that the natural obligation is one takes care of one's parents.
Right.
Now, if the parents are Krishna conscious, then taking care of them is part of your devotional activities. So it's not because it's the rule of the Shastra that I'm taking care of because they took care of me when I was young, now I take care of them. And in this way, then I'll have somebody who'll take care of me next life. So if no one took care of you this life, it means you didn't take care of anybody last life. Right? So at the end, you didn't take care. Therefore, at the beginning, who will take care? You know, it's just a natural progression. So those in the Vedic, they'll take care of this very nicely. We're only doing it because we're taking care of devotees. You understand? So the principle remains. So it looks like the same, but it's not. So we're not following for the purpose that they're giving. Just like it says, you know, the Lord cannot be described by words. That means, or understood by the mind. That means from the mundane platform, he cannot be understood. But from the spiritual, then he can be understood. So in the same way as following the devotional principles, then it's devotional because it's being done to please the Lord. Though it may be the same activities, the same words. Is that, sorry. Right. So, but if the parents aren't the devotees, they're not interested in Krishna consciousness, whatever you try to do, that they're just created obstacles, you're not obliged to take care of them. That's what it means. Because in the Vedic, you are obliged no matter what. But in the devotional, you're not, because if it's unfavorable for devotional service, then why you'd be involved? You know, or you find a way. You just give them some money, but you live in one side of town, they live on the other. Or they live in one state, you live in the next, or one continent, you live in the next. You know, whatever it is, whatever it takes to get it done.
Nursing homes.
Yes, nursing homes, yes. You know, like that. You know. Yes. You wanted to say something? Yeah, pray, whatever that's you can do. That's what we're doing as devotees, you know, because it's you know them, so therefore you pray for them. You know, hard to pray for people you don't know. You know, unless you're Vasudev Dutta. You know, he's a... Yeah, like that. So, does that make sense? That's what we mean by you're not obliged to follow the rules. So that's why in the beginning, devotees, you know, in the 60s, 70s, they just moved into the temple. Because there was no community, there was nothing in which they could function with it. So that the living in the temple, they had the proper association, proper regulation, they could advance in Krishna consciousness. Well, if they stayed at home, they wouldn't. So therefore, there's no obligation. Right? But if that obligation is favorable in devotional service, it's not a problem, then it's followed. Does that make sense? So the point is you take by moving to the temple, not taking care of the parents, then you're getting the same. The parents are still getting their benefit because you're a devotee. Why them? 21 generations can be liberated, you know. So they're just one. Right? So then you don't have to worry about. Okay. So, yeah.
Somebody was getting to, because astrologically, the father represents the son,
the father represents the son.
The social life and the mother...
Why is that astrology? The father represents the son. That's just Dharma Shastra. Yeah, Manu says that. The husband is born, you know, how you say, is born to his wife as her son. Mm. That's Manu. So astrology also will confirm this. Because it's lifestyle. So astrology is telling about timings. That's what it's for. So then in dealing with timings, then they have to be applied to the various activities. Right? And so being applied to these activities, then it'll give reference. So then you know. Okay. That's right. Yeah. So you have to know what are the central things and what are side. Okay. Yes. If you can, but we're saying the point is if you can give them bhakti, you do. If you can't, they're not interested. Then just by you being a devotee, they'll get benefit. That's the whole point. But it's not an excuse. It's that they don't want. Like I just heard the other day, one devotee was telling me, Their father had told them, don't go visit the, you know, the grandparents and, you know, aunts and uncles and all that. And he wouldn't let the devotee go. And so then, you know, one day they decided, you know, we're a big girl now, we're going. So they went over there, and they were happy that she came and this and that. But very soon the conversation turns to, you know, what is this devotional service? This is all nonsense. You know, why are you doing this, that? And then she tried going a couple of times, but that's the only conversation they can have. They can't have another conversation. So then what's the point? They're not interested. They just don't want to know. So you don't go. They'll get the benefit by you being a nice devotee and not contacting them. You know what I'm saying? It's sad, but on whose part? On their part. You know? So then what can you do? So if you can have influence, then of course you would. But if you can't, then you just... In other words, since being a devotee will give them the benefit, why associate with them and jeopardize your position as a devotee? Then nobody gets. You know? Does that make sense? If you can, point is if you can go over there, take prashad or send them prashad or whatever it is, and they're happy, or send them some flowers on Mother's Day, and so they'll think favorably, then you do that. Because it'll add to the thing. But you technically don't have an obligation to do these things from the material point of view, because they're not reciprocating on the material point of view. Right? Because at least then they should be nice, be happy. You know? You know, you're not a drug addict. They should be happy. You know, I've seen many parents who are so happy with Krishna consciousness, because before their child was so off the, you know, rails, that when they joined them, they're nice. You know, like that. What I was saying, the parents, when they, you know, First time they called him up as a devotee and they were talking with them and all that, then the parents said, "Hey, you're not swearing." You know, they were so impressed. You know, so like that. How much will it be inspiring? That much you get involved. If they can handle more Krishna consciousness, do it. You know. Like that. You know, it's just like, I think it was Matsya Avatar Prabhu. I mentioned he had met the devotees, discussed all the things very nicely, was convinced about Krishna consciousness, went back home for the, you know, for the evening. And so because they're being a, you know, old school Italian family, all 15 of them sit down at the table, grandmother and everybody else, all their sons and, you know, it means the whole family. And so they discussed, you know, what happened in the day and stuff like that. It's just a matter of course. And he described how he met the devotees. And how he talked with them and discussed, and he was convinced, and he wants to practice Krishna consciousness. Like that. So then, you know, grandmother, as the head of the family, hearing all the discussions, they all ask different things. And at the end said, well, since you've decided this is the best thing, then we should all do it. Right? So from that day, all 15 of them became devotees, because grandma said, right? You know? Like that. So if you have a family like that, go for it. But if you have one more kind of like Hiranyakashipu, then hang out with them at your own risk. Vladimir's 5, he has to. But, you know, if he was bigger, you know, he might not have. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. That's why God made Harleys, right? So you could... Yes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead nonetheless advised Prahlad Maharaj to follow the regulative principles, for since he was going to be the king, others would follow his example. Thus, Lord Nrisimhadeva advised Prahlad Maharaj to engage in the political duties, in his political duties, so that people would become the Lord's devotees. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tad tad eva taro janaha sayat paramanam kurute locus tad anuvartate. Yeah, so whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Bhagavatam 3:21. Right, so that exemplary acts, doing something out of the ordinary, something special, then that's the standard. He's a king. They do big, great things. So he does great things in connection with Krishna. He shows how to do his duties in connection with Krishna. So what will that mean? The common person will do their duties in connection with Krishna. Right? He does his duties, they'll do their duties. He does it Krishna conscious, they'll be Krishna conscious. Right? Does that make sense? So, he may be able to give up his duties. But now the problem is everybody else in the kingdom can? Right? They're doing their duties because of attachment. He's doing his duties because, you know, it sets the example. There's a difference there. So, yeah. It's also interesting here is you have yad yad and tud tud. So that means is there's emphasis, right? He's repeated it. That means there's an importance to this. So it's a quite important verse that Krishna says like this. One should not be attached to materialistic activities, but a devotee may perform such activities as an example to show the common man that one should not deviate from the Vedic injunctions. Means another, if you're on the material platform, you have to follow. It's like, oh, we're Westerners, we don't have to follow. No, you have to follow. The Vedic injunctions are the injunctions for those in the human form of life. You don't follow them, you go to hell. It's that simple. You do follow them, then, you know, you have a chance. Yes.
You were mentioning previously that in the case of the Vedic injunctions regulate that someone must take care of their parents, otherwise even their next birth, no one takes care of them.
Yes.
So the devotee is free from that then? How does it work?
He's free from that if they're not favorable. If they're favorable, why wouldn't he take care?
So the devotee practices devotional service, he becomes free from the reactions of karma or...
He gets neither reactions, good or bad. See, we look at it, oh, I won't get any bad reaction, but you won't get any good reaction either. We're not interested in reactions, good or bad. But if we're said, oh, we won't get any bad reaction, but people don't mind, the same people don't mind the good reactions. But what we're saying is devotee's not interested in good or bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's his name? Nard Muni in his last lifetime wasn't taken care of as a kid. It worked out for him. Right? You know, he became self-realized. He became Nard Muni the next life. So it wasn't bad. So that's the whole point is if you're Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter what the situation is. We're not worried about it.
He was homeless in his next life.
Yeah. Yeah, in the next life he was homeless. See, he didn't take care of his mother. He was homeless. Yeah. 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 You understand? Devotee doesn't care about good or bad. Most of the time we think, oh, we don't want bad, but we do want the good. We don't want either. We just want to please Krishna. Because it's not about setting yourself up in the material world. You know, it's like being in prison and, you know, getting nice pictures to put on the wall and, you know, doing different things, little decorations, you know, polishing the bars, you know, so they're nice and shiny, you know. Stuff like that, and, you know, put a welcome mat out in front, you know, like that kind of thing.
Home sweet home.
Yeah, home sweet home. Yeah.
So as long as we're not yet a devotee, but we're practicing our own sadhana, so to say, we might still be afraid that, oh, we get some bad reactions in the next life.
Because why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you taking care of the parents?
In order to practice bhakti better.
And why, by taking care of the parents, you can't practice bhakti? And why are they a disturbance? Because when you come home in the evening after work, it's been a tough day, you want to watch this program, but they're already watching that program. And you don't want to buy another TV. So what do you mean by disturbance?
The material situation is preventing you from doing better sadhana.
What does that mean, better sadhana? It means the other one you can do sadhana, but you can't do it. What's actually getting in the way? See, in other words, being lazy is not an excuse either. Because the point is there material attachment? Because if it's just a matter of my material attachments will go better, oh, you know, we'll have some more money, it'll be easier, it won't be such a stress in the evening, and so therefore my devotional service will go better. That may not be a good excuse. Because we'll say these things, but then we'll dream up something else.
You know, instead of fighting with your parents, then you'll fight with your other family members. You know, it's like Krishna said to Arjuna, he'll go to the forest, saying he'll be a big Brahmin, but he'll still fight. So that's the whole point. That's why it's as standard, you follow these rules and regulations. But if you can't, don't worry, because you're engaged in devotional service, there will not be any reaction. That's why one has to be very careful about this. You see, as Prabhupada is pointing out, when one becomes a devotee, he no longer has any duty to the Vedic regulative principles. Right? One has many duties to perform, but if he becomes fully devoted to the Lord, he no longer has any such obligations. And at the end of the same purport, one should not be attached to materialistic activities, but a devotee may perform such activities as an example to show the common man that one should not deviate from the Vedic injunctions. Right? In other words, if you're working in that area, why wouldn't you take deals? It's just like saying, oh, I'm going to cook lunch, but I'm not going to take care of the kitchen because the kitchen's Maya. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, Or we get money from the parents, but, going and talking to them or saying thank you or calling them on the phone, that's Maya. What about the money? Why is that not Maya?
You can engage it in devotional service.
You can engage it in devotional service, okay. Right. You understand? So we have to make a distinction between, so that one doesn't have to decide, therefore the Vedic rules is what is followed. But you don't have an obligation to follow them, because if you don't follow them, you'll go to hell. That obligation is gone. Here's that you want that lifestyle, you want to be a grihastha, then here the rules are there. Because there's hardly any rules for brahmachari sannyasis. It means the brahmachari rules basically in the... Yeah, you have one chapter, and even that, halfway through, they go into something else and then go back. No, that's a snapik. That's in the third. So the brahmachari is just in the second chapter, but it opens with the samskars. So it's not even a full chapter on the brahmachari. And then it gets in vanaprastha sannyas. Sannyas is only talking about the mentality, really. The mood and how he sees things. And the vanaprastha is just showing how he can be physically austere. But it doesn't actually... There's no other rules. So the rules are very minimal. But third, fourth, fifth, three full chapters is all about grihasthas. And they're big chapters. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to... It's thought that... all the rules and that, the brahmacharis, the sannyasis, the gurus, they got to follow all these rules and all that, because they're, Satya Yuga, applies to them, the standards, everything like that. But, it's Kali Yuga, we're grihasthas, we're being practical, so we don't have to follow all the rules. But unfortunately, it's exact opposite. Grihasthas are the ones that have to follow the rules, or the brahmacharis don't follow all the rules. It still works, because they're just doing stuff for Krishna. They're just chanting, they're preaching, they're... You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that there's this illusion that the grihastha is free from all these things. Like the brahmachari out in the middle of the road talks to the lady, oh, this is Maya, we can see this is nonsense, but it's out in public. But the grihastha can talk alone with a lady who's not his own wife, and that's perfectly bona fide. The Shastra says actually the exact opposite. It says grihasthas are the ones that can't talk to women other than their own wife, unless it's, social situation is there. You raise your eyebrows, but that's what Shastra says. We interpret it that way. Oh, I get married, I have a license for dealing with women, so I can deal with all women. It's my thing. No, you can deal with one woman. You got a license for one, not for many, right? So you get a license for, a truck or something like that. You can drive that truck. You can't drive any truck.
License means restriction.
We take it. No, it's like that's our interpretation. Like I remember, I was sitting there in the entranceway that you walk in for everything, and they had to talk to one girl. I was sitting there; she was on the floor. Everybody could come in and see. It was right next to reception. Someone comes in. Oh, I saw you talking to a woman. It says that's why I was sitting there. Oh no, what is this? It's just like, what planet are these people from? You know, I don't understand. But grihastha can sit around talking to anybody anywhere and, oh, that's cool. But that's not what Shastra says. And if you ask your wife, she's not cool with it either.
No.
Yeah. Like that. And so, but the men think, no, no, this is my right. No, there's no right. Nowhere. Nowhere does it authorize. Like that. That's the whole point. So we have to understand is we can't make up our own interpretations about these things, which is what we tend to do. You know. So when it's rules and regulations of the Vedas that don't, that we're not used to, it's not there in our culture, then it's, all these burdensome rules. But then if it's something that's just standard by our background, even though it's not recommended, it's practical. We have to be very, very careful about this. Because generally you'll see those that oppose the Vedic version is because it's different from how they grew up. That simple. It means, ego-wise, no one's going to buy that. But in reality, that's what it is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's then the point, is that we have to, according to what Shastra recommends. So Prabhupada's given us a lifestyle and certain things to do. Those things we can't throw out and say, that's all Vedic, that's all for smartness. No, that's given to us by Prabhupada. How many devotees, before coming in contact with Prabhupada, knew anything about the Vedic culture? Right? So therefore, then all the rules they learn are Prabhupada's giving from the point of view of devotional. It's from the Vedic, because the Vedic is describing Krishna. But the important point is your interpretation, the hermeneutics of the Veda. And so for us, it's pure devotion, according to the Parampara. And so we're discussing Prahlad Maharaj, and so he's the perfect example that is being given of the Mahajans. Right? So then, in line with that, we interpret in that way. We don't take other ways of doing, you know, according to the academics, according to this and that. You know, everybody nowadays, it's the fashion. Everybody has their own interpretation based on whichever part of the internet is more important to them. You know what I'm saying? So like that. So then, you know, you get that. You know, most people just skim the general news, so they're just being fed that, you know. How you say? You know, your standard mushroom information. Right? No? As opposed to something more specific. Does that make sense? You know, so it's nothing glorious. All this discussion, we have to, I don't know, and all that. That's just the mode of passion. That's not something glorious. I went to college, I got a degree in something useless, and so now, I'm such an intellectual, now I can decide, on if we follow things that Prabhupada gave us or not. Like that. It's popular, but who cares about popular? Since when is popular important? Because if popular is important, then the celebrities should be the acharyas. You know, and how long do they stay popular? You know what I'm saying? So is it sustainable? Is popularity sustainable? But now something like God, people have been talking about him and dying in connection with him for a long time. Okay. It's just a sentimentality?
No. If the devotee says that I have to take care of my parents and I'm happy with it, if he says that you must spend many of your time on this instead of practice one.
But does it affect his devotional service?
Yes.
then what's the point? So it's how much is necessary, then that much is done. Because the point is, maintain takes very minimal. Cultivation of relationship is valuable if the relationship can go somewhere. Does that make sense? It also depends upon how sentimental a background you're from. So there's some, you know. That's another thing. So that's why it has to be judged accordingly. But we don't. We have to be very careful in that judgment. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, what is the standard? But then it's also okay. They're saying we have to take care of the parents. But are they taking care of the parents as Shastra recommends? Also, right? We can't just take what we like. Does that make sense? Shri Narad Muni continued, thus, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead ordered, Prahlad Maharshi performed the ritualistic ceremonies for his father. O King Yudhishthira, he was then enthroned in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu, as directed by the Brahmanas. Srila Prabhupada comments, it is essential that society be divided into four groups of men, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Here we see that although Prahlad was perfect in every respect, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas who performed the Vedic rituals. Therefore, in society, there must be a very intelligent class of leaders who are well-versed in the Vedic knowledge so that they can guide the entire populace to follow the Vedic principles and thus gradually become most perfect and eligible to return home back to Godhead. Right, so here it says it's essential, it must be. So this kind of division must happen. It's not that we have to, how do we do this? It's already going on. We simply have to recognize it. We have to understand how the science works. But the point is that's being made here is that bringing our life in line with the Brahminical principles of God consciousness as given by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, that's essential. If we just do things because we like, because we please, that's not enough. Right? It has to be based on what is the authority of the scriptures. Like that. And so then it will work very nicely. Why are these things there? Because of our material attachments. So we're materially attached. So we have that attachment. You have to engage it in Krishna service. Now, the point is everybody's got attachments that they have to engage in Krishna service. Right? How do we coordinate all these attachments?
Right? Develop a social situation.
Yes, you develop a social situation by having a meeting that never ends. Right, you know, I think there was a theme before called the endless summer, like that. So this is the endless meeting. It never ends. That doesn't happen.
Except people were hoping for the endless summer, and were lamenting the endless meeting.
Yes, but what to do?
Endless summer.
Yes.
In search of the perfect resolution.
Yes, perfect. Okay, so it means following the authority, the Brahminical authority, that's then the important thing. So then the Shastra is there, the Acharyas are there, we follow that. Otherwise, then how can we say we're going to establish management if it's not based on, so who are the Brahmins? Right? If we're going to establish management's the main thing, and the manager's at the top, who's above the manager? Because there has to be a Brahmin telling the manager, giving him direction. It doesn't say he tells him what to do. Brahmins don't micromanage like that. That's for Shudras, right? So if anybody likes to micromanage, that's for bureaucrats like that. That's not, leaders don't do that, real managers don't do that, Brahmins don't do that. It's not a thing. So where are the Brahmins? No discussion about that. How to increase the Brahminical understanding, Brahminical culture. No, we just don't see it. Because the Western paradigm is based on breaking that down. Before, the church was the head of everything. Then they separated, so the secular. And what's the idea of the secular? We don't need the Brahmin. It's not that we're religious people and all that in our personal life, but management and all that will do separate. But still, how is it we can manage without God consciousness? And then the problem is they drop the religious part. So in other words, my life is just what I think. So I am the authority. And then you change the religion because it also now matches the secular. That what I feel, that is reality. I don't have to listen to some, ecclesiastical authority. Okay? Does that make sense? So that being used as a paradigm to practice Krishna consciousness won't be very successful. Right? Because as an individual, we're not going to benefit, and as a group, we can't benefit. There must be direction. Always there must be direction. Yes?
Is this why temples and buildings, that's not all of
them? Yes, because the temple president is the manager, and then he gets direction from senior devotees in the community and specifically from the GBC, from a Brahminical point of view. The GBC tries to manage it, then what manager wants to be managed by someone who doesn't know how to manage? Does that make sense? Hence, stagnation. Or if you say, we don't need the temples, you know, because that's an old archaic thing, we need communities, that's the new fresh thing, but who gives the direction to the community? So if there's no Brahminical standard, there's no example, then how do you have community? What's the common point? Right? Like that. So that's the difficulty. Is that the Vedic system is scientific, and since the modern society prides themselves in being scientific and logical, then they would naturally want to use the Vedic because it is. And to reject the Vedic, saying it's sentimental, that is for the uninformed, the fools, the demons, like that. These are the different terms that the Shastra uses. Because the point is, it is science. So why would we avoid the science unless it's not what we want materially? In other words, I don't feel I can gain materially what I want if I follow the Vedic science. Because let's say I'm a businessman, I do business, and so, but I want to control the whole society, and I'm going to try to do that by, introducing economic standards as the most important element. But the problem is, if I follow the Vedic, then I classify myself as a Vaishya, and I'm not in a position to do that. I'm not even in a position to deal with administration, let alone give direction. So therefore, we don't need this Vedic. We're devotees. We're above these things. But if we're above these things, why are we talking economics? Because if we were above these things, we would be talking pure devotion. So that's why the system is there, so that it's very clear who can do what in this cooperation together and add the best. So the pure devotion is the best. Then you have the general Brahminical standards, then administrative, then economic, and then what is, you know, the actual how to get the you know, on the ground done. So these levels then have to be seen. Does that make sense? So bhakti is the highest. Next down is going to be moksha. Next down is going to be dharma with the kshatriyas. Next, so you have two levels of the Brahminical. Then next down is going to be vaishyas with artha. And then down to the niti, you know, or the kama with everybody else. So unless one sees this order, it can't work. You can say all you want about how it doesn't work, but those people who say it doesn't work, what have they done? Where has it hit the ground? I've seen people who are trained by Prabhupada that they can get things done and they don't get into the technical details of the Vedic because the Prabhupada just showed them do this, 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 they just do it. So in their mind, they're doing the same thing, but they're doing because Prabhupada said. And so they don't understand all this Vedic stuff. Right, so even though Prabhupada said, but they're doing because Prabhupada said, they're in a different category. But those who aren't trained by Prabhupada and don't follow what Prabhupada said, you know, here in the books, then what's the position? What's the authority? Right, because the mind is quite limited in its authority since it keeps changing.
I was wondering that the setup that Prabhupada gave us, like the morning program, Bhagavatam class, and like that, because we hear that, you know, we may or may not disqualify ourselves or be in a temple with this qualified or not with leaders or lack of leaders, but the system that Prabhupada gave us.
Yes.
So if we somehow were system.
Yes, yes. That's the Pancharatrik system. So the Pancharatra is those rules from the Veda that is easily either directly or indirectly or directly or supportive of worship of the deity. Right? Because there's so many Vedic rules that deal with so many aspects. So those that deal with deity worship, that's what's the Pancharatra. It's Vedic rules, but it's there. So it's what Vedic rules are directly connected to Bhagavat, basically. So that's the lifestyle that Prabhupada gives us. So we have a Pancharatric lifestyle. So someone could say it's not Vedic. In one sense, you can say it's not, but in another sense, it is. So that's what's given to us. That's what we follow. Because Krishna says if you surrender immediately, then you do that. If not, you follow the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. So that's then what's given. That's the Pancharatra. So that's our lifestyle. That's why we get up, take a bath. These are all defined in Pancharatra.
And I mean that then, if we work within that system, even though the brahmana may be less prominent,
it'll still work. Means as an individual, see, the system is given, an individual themselves can go back to Godhead despite everybody else. That was the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Don't be in anxiety that no one else is practicing Krishna consciousness. You know what to do. You practice it yourself. You practice it, you go back to Godhead despite everybody else. But if you want to do something great, this is now, that's what he said, but what we're saying is, what Prabhupada's mentioning, you want to do something great, you cooperate together, use the Vedic system, then everybody can fulfill their material desires in connection with Krishna, and it'll all work harmoniously. Right? Just like I said, one person wants to fulfill his need for economic, you know, control, but at the expense of everybody else's devotional service. So in the Vedic system, that's not allowed. Because economics can't be taken above devotion, liberation, and dharma. But this individual will, because economic morality is the most important thing in the universe. So because of that, they're unqualified to take that decision. So that should be adjusted. So yes, there must be economic integrity, but it has its place within the devotional concept. As soon as it replaces the devotional concept, then the person becomes, you know, as Prabhupada mentions, asar, means useless. They have no function. They can't get anything done. Right? Because it's just a... So that's what it says. Unless it's according to the Vedas, the Pancharatra, and everything, then it's simply a disturbance in society. So we can say, oh, it's devotional service, but it's not according to how the scriptures say you should perform devotional service, so it's a disturbance. But an individual, despite the disturbed atmosphere, can perform devotional service and go back to Godhead. We're just saying if we want to do it on a grand way, then you have to do it like this. But individually, everybody could go back to Godhead despite everybody else. You understand? So you don't have to worry.
You were mentioning that there's Pancharatra is the great in the world. So is this where we, because the Vedic is so broad and it's grown apart, so anybody can, like, Duryodhana will use it all three.
Yes.
So it means that within the application of the situations, I heard that in emergency, we follow Mahajanayana Gatakasakam.
We don't follow them even when it's not an emergency?
We follow them always, but when there's an emergency and there may be different opinions of how to follow it according to different Vedic injunctions.
And how many Vedic injunctions are we dealing with? And who discusses Dharma Shastra and makes even discussions? But who does that?
Oh,
yeah. I'm saying, who does that?
I've seen arguments, and everyone is speaking saliva, and because Russians are naturally very...
Yes, but the point is you have to understand, is that north of the Volga, they're a very unique breed. They have the emotional and social needs of the Asians, right? And the materialistic kind of interest and drive of the Europeans. So they have a very unique position that they don't fit into either.
They're trying to combine it.
Like that, you know. And throw in a little mysticism and Hari Bol. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, have they studied
the whole manu, and based on that, or it's just a quote here and there that they like. Point is it's the whole shastra is there, so therefore you're going to use it. Then, because the point is being Krishna conscious. Does it make sense? Because otherwise, if they can't explain what's the point of it, what's its purpose, then, you know, it's nice, it's pious, but at the same time. See, that's the whole point, is that's why Prabhupada puts the emphasis on the devotional. It may be at the expense of following the rules, but at least the focus is on the devotional. But then if we drop the devotional, we don't follow the rules. Or if someone catches, oh no, but Prabhupada's saying we should follow the rules, but misses the devotional, and then these two parties fight like cats and dogs, like you just said. One party says you got to follow the rules. The other one says, no, we don't have to follow the rules. But are any of them saying, what about Krishna? What about the Krishna consciousness?
If you bring it up, there's like, of course. Or just...
Of course, but then explain technically how it happens. You know, that's the point. Anybody can say anything. You know, you go down to the insane asylum, all kinds of people there will be saying all kinds of interesting and amazing things. Right? That makes sense? Yeah, so. Okay. Narad Muni continued. Lord Brahma, surrounded by the other demigods, was bright-faced because the Lord was pleased. Thus he offered prayers to the Lord with transcendental words, right? So when he first came, the Lord wasn't pleased, right? Or at least he was angry. And none of them, they offered their prayers, and after that, then, you know, they were just happy that they, you know, their heads remained on their shoulders and all that. But they brought Prahlad. Then Prahlad, then his prayers, now the Lord's happy and everything like this. So then Lord Brahma, now that the Lord is peaceful and satisfied that they can all properly approach and that, now he's very bright-faced because now, you know, because that's the point. He's a devotee. He wants to see the Lord happy.
Like this scene will be depicted in Lord Nrisimhadev's east wing of the new temple. On the second level, there'll be large deities of Brahma, Indra, Shiva, okay. Manu, all standing with folded hands.
Okay. Oh, okay, all around, taking darshan.
On the second viewing level.
Oh, okay.
The eight-foot deities, all unable to come forward and
Okay. Allowed
their Lord and Singhadev.
Okay. Right. Okay. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord of all lords, proprietor of the entire universe, O benefactor, benedictor of all living entities, O original person, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Purusha, because of our good fortune, you have now killed this sinful demon who is giving trouble to the entire universe. This demon, Hiranyakashipu, received from me the benediction that he would not be killed by any living being within my creation. With this assurance and with strength derived from austerities and mystic yoga, he became excessively proud and transgressed all the Vedic injunctions. By great fortune, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad Maharaj, has now been released from death, for although he is a child, he is an exalted devotee. Now he is fully under the protection of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. 26 to 29, Srila Prabhupada comments. Everyone is sure to die, for no one is excused from the hands of death, which is but a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mrityu sarva haras chaham, Bhagavad Gita 10:34. When one becomes a devotee, however, he is not destined to die according to the limited duration of life. Everyone has a limited duration of life, but a devotee's lifetime can be extended by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who is able to nullify the results of one's karma. Karmani nir dahati kintucha lakti bhajam. This is the statement of Brahma Samhita 5:54. A devotee is not under the laws of karma. Therefore, even a devotee's scheduled death can be avoided by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. God protects the devotee even from the extreme danger of death. But so the most important is by not being Krishna conscious. So that's what one's protects. So death generally means then going to another, losing one's position, going to another situation. But for the devotee, when they leave the body, they just go back to Godhead. Right? So then, what's the problem? But at the same time, he's also pointing out that by the karma, then we see that the Lord can extend the life. Right? When they went to 77, when they went to see astrologers, big astrologers in those days, you know, about Prabhupada's position, how longer he would stay and just like that. When they showed him the chart and they calculated everything, they just said, he's here because of his own will. He says his chart's finished. You know, he's just, you know, there is nothing more here. He's just here, you know, like that. So that's the whole point. Is that this is seventh canto, so Prabhupada could be discussing that point. Because, you know, 77 he was working on 10th. So then I'm not sure it was the timeline, but, you know. So that's the point, is it's up to Krishna. Just if it's favorable that extends, it does. You know, but if not, then, you know, it doesn't matter. We go back to Godhead anyway. So for the devotee, it really doesn't matter. We need to give up our body like Bhishma Dev. And so they worked out the arrows. You can't stick two fingers between any two arrows. So you got to get that right. Because if the space is bigger, it may not work. And if it's too close, it might not work either. You know, so. They have to go all the way through and be long enough that they're on the ground, so you're above the ground. Yeah. Well, that has to be provided by someone else. So. Yeah. So, yes. Manu says that it's either like the tree on the bank of the, when it's talking about the sannyasi, that tree on the bank of the river, that during the rainy season, you know, the bank erodes and eventually the tree is washed out into the river, or as the bird leaves the tree. So either of these. So Bhishma Dev is the bird leaves the tree, but the other one is also quite bona fide. This is what I mean by, how do you say? There's a Bengali saying, Nai Kaj, Koi Baj. You know koi? You know puffed rice?
Yeah.
Mudi?
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's a little bit smaller and harder. You know, it's bigger than a grain of rice, but you ever seen koi? Is that double puffed rice. It's like rice popcorn. So they cook it in sand in it and with the husk. Because muri is done without the husk. You take husk rice and you cook that in sand and it'll puff up that little bit. But koi means you take it with the husk on and you cook it in sand so it actually explodes and gets way bigger. Right? So it's really big and weighs nothing. So a kilo of koi is this huge monster bag. Like that. So that's what it means. When you have nothing to do, then you sit around and cook koi. Okay. So it seems that, how you say, that's a specialty from at least wherever you're getting your experiences that you're sharing with us in the class. You know, how you say, the koi bhaji bodies. Yes? No? Yeah, because otherwise it's, no, you got to leave like Bhishma Dev. No, we have to leave like this one. No. What about this one? What about the guy that just ran over by the fell? Or what about him? Well, he's not a devotee. You know, so I mean, just, you know, what's the point? Right there, you know? Just saying. Like, if you really need this kind of thing, then listen to, you know, Monty Python or Beyond the Fringe or something. But, you know, if you want reality, then you listen to what Prabhupada says. Yes. He's not under the laws of karma. No, we've discussed that so much before. So? What? Oh, we'll move on then. Devotee's not, no, he's not under the laws of karma. You surrender to Krishna, you're then what Prabhupada calls Krishna karma. So your karma is gone, you're liberated. But unfortunately, by our conditioning, polluted consciousness, we still think we're conditioned. So we act according to our conditioning. But actually, the point is we don't have any karma as such. But because we're expecting things to work in a certain way, then Krishna gives accordingly. Because we're dealing with Krishna in that way, we expect in that way. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Does that mean we look at our astrology and we anticipate that it's going to play out in a certain way and therefore it does?
That's there, but it's also you look at the astrology and think it'll do something and it doesn't do that. I watched an astronomer, you know, astrologer who very convinced, I can tell anything in that. I remember I was sitting there when he was talking to Bhagavan and Bhavananda Prabhu. And he was saying, this is going to happen, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. It never happened. It just never happened. In January, it was all this was supposed to happen. Festival came, nothing had ever happened. And it never did.
Good or bad?
Well, he was saying, you know, that, you know, end of the world, you know, kind of thing. But it never happened. You know, he's supposed to get sick, this, that, so many, not a sniffle, nothing. So it's up to Krishna. If Krishna wants, then it will be. He wants that. And so we know that this would be the karma. So the point is there's a reaction for what you do. The point of the reaction is to learn something from it. Materialist never learns anything because of their attachments. But for the devotees, they can learn something from it. But it's not that they're getting the reactions given by the material nature. It's arranged by Krishna through material nature that you get the similar kind of reaction that matches that mentality. You know, whether you're a devotee or non-devotee, the cold medicine works for a cold. Right? Does that make sense? But of course, cold medicine doesn't work. But that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But it's the same prescription. But for the devotee, is if the attachment is greater, then it may be more in line with how much karma would be there. But if your attachment is less, then it'll be smaller. And if the attachment's gone away, what's the need for the reaction? See, Maya, even if you've learned your lesson, you'll still get the reaction anyway. But for a devotee, he's learned his lesson, there may be no reaction at all. That's Krishna karma. That's the point. But it will look similar because we have a particular conditioning that we identify with. So we can say, oh no, but we're transcendental. But the point is then act transcendental. Right? You know what I'm saying? Is that, yeah. So, anyway.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jaya.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jaya.
Jaya Nitai Govardhana ki.